Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find an audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. I'll now like to welcome Kenora, a compulsive overeater. Welcome, Kenora.
Hi, thank you so much, Donna. I'm grateful to be here. My name is Kiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Akron, Ohio, and it's my privilege and honor to be of service today. For a moment, I'm just going to quickly say a set-aside prayer. Dear God, please help me to set aside anything I think I know about myself, about my disease, about the Big Book, the 12 Steps, and fellowship, and all spiritual terms, especially you, God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth and speak the truth. Amen. So, yes, I'm going to share my pictures, but I wanted to just give a little bit more of background. I said that I'm a compulsive overeater living in recovery one day at a time. And I am 54 years of age. My highest weight has been over 230 pounds. I stopped weighing, but at one point I do remember leaving out of the hospital and I was 244, but over 230 for sure. I'm currently maintaining a 100-pound weight loss, and I'm grateful that there is a solution. So let me just share my pictures so that way I can kind of start. I'm going to share my screen here for a second. Okay. Hopefully you can see that first picture. This is me at my worst. I'm not beyond having another worst, but this is like the pit. This is me in the middle. The look on my face, I don't know if you can see well enough in my eyes, but I was miserable. I was graduating from nursing school. I was living in Atlanta at the time, and my parents, who they were divorced, but they came down to support me from my graduation. And my mother brought this shirt down with her because she was passing it on to me, and it was a size 24. No, 22, sorry. It was a size 22 shirt. And I was sad that, one, that my mother was smaller than me, and then two, that I had so much to be grateful for. I was graduating from nursing school, something that I wanted to be a registered nurse, but I was unhappy. I was miserable. I was at my heaviest, and I was heavier than both my parents, my mother and father. And I was, just very sad. I'm going to go ahead and share a couple other pictures while I'm here. This is me last year. And I share this picture because in this disease, I have been 240, over 230 pounds, but I also have been very small to the extreme. And at one point when I was losing weight, I wanted to be small enough to stay under anybody's radar. I didn't want anyone to give me any attention. And I'll share a little bit more about that. So to me, this is me at a weight that I did not feel very healthy. I was, in my mind, underweight. And then this last picture I will share, hold on, is this is me with my granddaughter. Now my granddaughter is about 6 months old, but this is her when she was maybe a 1 month old, but this is me now. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen and kind of go backwards from the beginning. I had issues with my emotions, not feeling good enough, not being feeling less than from very early on. A lot of times people will say that they had problems with food, but it's deeper than just the food. I've learned in program that food is just a solution, but the issue started with me feeling less than. My parents had me, they were teenagers, 16 and 17 years of age. My father was a functional alcoholic, and my mother, I'm not trying to take her inventory, but she has stated, and she also came into program with me as in a food addiction, program. So that was my background. And I never would share anything that was happening in my household. There was a lot of arguing and some domestic violence, but I never shared any of that with anybody. I was a very good student, but I was trying to manage. I also felt like my father wanted a son first, and I was the older sibling, me and my brother. And always was trying really hard to be the a perfect daughter, the perfect student. And I worked really hard, and I always kept everything to myself. I was always there for other people, but I never would share anything about what was happening for me. Anyway, so how that translated, how did I cope with that? I coped with it with food. I didn't start being concerned about being overweight until probably after high school. However, I remember as early as elementary school, second and third grade, I would carry a purse, and I would always have food in my purse, always. I would carry packets of salt in my purse so that way I could salt things, at any time. I also would practice holding in my stomach. I remember this was a third grade, and like I said, I'm in my 50s. So back in the day, underoos were these little like two-piece undergarments that girls will wear. You can get the Bionic Woman or Wonder Woman. And I would not like how I looked in a mirror, and I would practice holding in my stomach. And I wasn't overweight, but I had an issue with my body image even earlier, early on as third grade. The other thing too, food became a source of comfort for me as I was growing up. And when I would go out with my friends, even in middle school, high school, the first stop would be at a buffet. And the whole thing was about trying to eat as much as we could. And as long as I was getting attention from the opposite sex, then I felt like I was okay. I was curvy, and in my community, having some curves was applauded. And so that's how I knew I was okay. I had good grades. The boys would, want to talk to me, or if I was walking down the street, somebody would blow their horn, and I felt like, okay, well, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as I think I am. And that followed me wanting to have attention and have validation my whole life. So fast forward to college, I went away to school, and I ended up meeting my husband there. And even with him, like he became my food buddy, but as long as he was bigger than me, then I was okay. But then after a while, when we were eating all the time. Food became an issue. I started doing dieting at that point. I would try the different diets, grapefruit diet, slim fast, all kind of different things. I would had tried briefly to take like diet pills, but they would really increase my heart rate so much that it was scary. So I didn't do that for very long. But after a while, even though my husband was heavier than me, I started becoming self-conscious. And eventually we did get married. But I started getting self-conscious because I was not happy with myself and I became depressed. And on top of that, I had a daughter. Me and my husband had a daughter before we got married. And I also had a lot of shame around that because I wanted to have this perfect family. I wanted to have been married first before we had our child. So I figured that I would just have another child after we got married. So then it could be right because I was never satisfied with what I had. And so, but I started have I had problems. I was getting pregnant, but I was miscarrying, and so the depression just increased. And my solution was to go to the food. I would just eat over that, right? And so not only was I gaining weight, I didn't even want to be intimate with my husband because I was ashamed of my body. And I had this sweet little baby girl who told me at one point, I think she was 4, and I was obsessed. I just wanted to have this another child after I got married to have it to do have a do-over. And I remember my daughter telling me, like, "Mommy, you're blessed because you have me," you know. And but you know, I was so full of the food and trying to medicate myself and obsessed with what I didn't have that I could not even appreciate and just enjoy the blessing of my child that I did have. So continue to eat, continue to be depressed. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I was diagnosed, oh, we wanted to, after multiple miscarriages, failed in vitro fertilization, I really was got into a depression, and so my weight had ballooned up. I was diagnosed with diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and I still was in the food. I couldn't stop eating, and so at that point, none of the diets was working. Nothing was working. I was miserable, sad. I had no baby, and even though I had a child and I had a husband, I had graduated from nursing school. I wasn't happy, and I thought, if I can just get a baby, and then get the weight off, then I will have arrived. And none of those things worked. And make a long story short, we ended up adopting after 2 failed in vitro fertilization. We end up adopting, and I think that's when I first started really like addressing the weight because now I got the baby. You know, it wasn't the way I wanted it, but I was happy nevertheless. And now, you know, I have diabetes. I've tried going to an endocrinologist, a dietitian. None of those things was working. And all the while this is happening, my father, who was a functional alcoholic, he's getting worse in his disease. And I would try to tell him how to live his life and how dangerous it was for him to be drinking. But yet I was eating and never saw the correlation at all. And so I started looking into food recovery programs. And I tried like a Christian-based program first. And that really kind of threw me for a loop because I would pray and ask that God would help me to be in a normal weight and take this obsession away. And I thought if I prayed hard enough that it should just happen, and it didn't. And so then I already was had a lot of insecurity and didn't feel good about myself. Now I'm like, not even God loves me because he won't answer my prayer. And I was so far away from just knowing the truth. Like I was a compulsive overeater, a food addict, and that there was a solution, but I didn't know it. So now I got everything that I think I wanted. I have 2 children, a husband, a career that I wanted, but I was diabetic, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, unhappy, depressed, and now I can't even, I felt like I couldn't even turn to a higher power because God wouldn't help me. He didn't answer my prayer and didn't strike me abstinent. So, make a long story short, I found myself in other programs, and I thought, well, maybe if I can just put the food down. I was really doing dieting with group support, and I had some success. I did have some success for a period of time, because I thought it was all about after 4 days of okay, no certain foods that's going to trigger this allergy. Now I was going to have a solution, and that I will have it made for sure now, because now the food is down. I'm starting to lose weight. I'm going to meetings. And I didn't know what I didn't know until I had to learn it. So after 10 years of having periods of time where I was white knuckling and relying on myself, I found myself back in the food in a horrible relapse. I gained all 100 pounds back. And I never left the rooms. I never left the rooms. I was going to face-to-face meetings. I had a level of pride. I've arrived. I got this. But you know, I was so far away from God, so far away from truly relying on God. I had a big book and I read, but I was never practicing the steps. I did not have the solution. And so things change, and I'm going to just slow down for a second before I talk about where the solution came and where true recovery started for me. I want to just to recap once the places where I thought I would never go. So when I first started coming into the rooms of 12-step recovery, I would hear people talk about eating out of the trash and hiding food, and everything that I heard happened for me. It was not uncommon for me to leave work and stop at a fast food place, get fast food, stop at another fast food place to get dessert, and stop in a parking lot somewhere to dump all the things, the wrappers and everything away, clear off my shirt, go home and pretend that I had never eaten so I could eat with my family. Sadly, the kids that I wanted so badly, I would be so mean to them if they caught me sneaking in a pantry. So, like if we were watching a movie and doing something in the living room, I would say, I'll be back, and say I had to go to the restroom, but really I went to the pantry to try to hide food. And I would get so angry if one of my kids came into the kitchen and kind of saw me eating or, eating some food. I was very mean at when I was trying to get my food and trying to hide and pretend and manage my image of I'm a good mom, I'm a good wife. I'm a good co-worker. I'm a good whatever. And food became, it became everything. I cope with it. And this disease got progressively worse. One of the things I came across years ago is that there was this continuum about food addiction and how it can lead to death. And again, I'm being super judgmental about my alcoholic father. But I'm never applying any of those things or looking at myself as I was being self-righteous. And so I'm so grateful that there is a solution. The other thing too, as I can say, as my disease had progressively gotten worse, is that I wasted so much money buying something, eating some of it, and then throwing it away, and then going back to the store to get it again. And then when I was at home, I would pretend and tell myself, I'm going to throw it away. But already in my head and my heart, I knew that I was going to go back and retrieve it later. So I would put it in a grocery bag so that way it wouldn't get too soiled in the trash can. All the lies that I told myself. But one of the things I wanted to really focus on is after when I gained all of the weight back, after losing, 100 pounds, and I gained all the weight back. And I thought surely I would never ever be back in this spot again. It never dawned on me that if I gained all the weight back and I started eating addictively, that I was going to be diabetic again, because that was resolved from my problem list. When I lost the weight and I was eating, abstinently or, having a food plan, I was relieved of all those ailments that I had. And it never dawned on me that if I went back into the food, that I was going to be right back where I left off at. So I had my blood sugar was high again. I remember checking it. It was 308. And I was like, oh my gosh. But even with that, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And I had a friend who was in a different program that focused on doing the big book. And she told me that you need two shoes. You can't just do it just with the disciplines and tools. You have to have a spiritual experience. And I was thinking, well, I know God. I know God. I thought that he didn't love me at one point, but I do know him, And it wasn't until she offered to take me through the 12 steps that truly the solution came. One, I had to realize that I was truly someone who had an allergy. And it wasn't that God didn't love me. God gave me, he was pointing me in the direction of a solution the whole time, long time ago. But I had to realize that I had an allergy, and that it wasn't that I was a bad person. I had an allergy, but even more so that I had this mental twist, this obsession that told me that food was going to fix my problem. And it was God the whole time. And so that was the biggest difference for me. It's sometimes it's really even hard to talk. Like I would share my story years ago in the previous program, and I thought that I had arrived. I was doing a lot of service. I had a lot of sponsees, but sometimes I'm at a loss for words because I am powerless. It's not me. Like food has knocked the pride right out of my head, not all the time, but a lot of time. And I'm truly powerless. And I know, like, it's only by God's grace that I can live a life of recovery today. And so how does that look for me today? Well, once I went through the 12 steps, the way that it's instructed and laid out for me in the big book, I realized that I missed a key component. I had an allergy. I had this strange mental twist, and that only by me surrendering and seeking God's help was there a solution. And I did that. I do it every day. I live 10, 11, and 12 every single day, and things are so different for me. It's so much I can't even capture it all, but I can give a few examples of what I can tell is different for me. One is I wasn't afraid to make a commitment. Someone asked me to share at this meeting weeks ago, and I was going to go on a trip to Italy, and I had no qualms about it. I said, "Sure, yes, I can do that," whatever the case is. But in the past, I probably would not have committed to something if I was going to be going to out of the country, because maybe I would have had to try some of the food. But it's like, no, I trust my higher power. I trust that God has me. And there's nothing more important to me than staying connected. My relationship with my higher power is so different for me today, because I know that it's only by his grace that I can do this one day at a time. The other thing is, I'm not white knuckling this. Like, God has removed that obsession from me, but it's based on the spiritual condition. Me staying spiritually fit, and me keeping and having that connection with God. And so, how I do that today is that anytime I have a disturbance, I'm dealing with it. I'm asking God for help, and I don't trust myself completely. I have to talk to somebody else about it who can see and help me identify where I may not be seeing things. Another thing that's really different for me. When my son who we adopted, I had so many dreams and hopes and insecurities from day one, about him. Like, will he still love me? Does he really love me? I'm not his birth mother. Is he going to accept me? And I had all these dreams and expectations. And I even had a dream about him just yesterday about him telling me that he never loved me, and which is so not true. But I used to be so controlling of my son. And this is me in program controlling him. And when I thought that he wasn't going to graduate from high school, I threatened him. I had my own scared straight program where I threatened him. I took him to another school, a public school in a bad neighborhood. And I said, if you don't get your act together, then you're going to do this. But that was me trying to be all powerful, and I'm powerless. And it worked for a semester, and my son got his act together for that one semester, and then he was back at doing whatever he wanted to do. And I ate over that. I went back into the food because I was trying to control things. Today was different. Me in recovery is that now my son is 20 years old. He's not doing exactly what I would want him to do. He moved out. He dropped out of college. He moved out. He lives with his girlfriend. And I am not checking on him. I accept him. I have a relationship ideal that says, for me as his mother, I'm going to love him and support him and pray for him. And that's what I do today. I'm not trying to control him. I'm not trying to manipulate him. That's just one example of a change for me in recovery. Another thing, besides traveling over, out of the country to Italy, everybody was talking about the food, 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 food. And that wasn't my story. I asked God for help. God helped me. I was able to connect with my sponsor to kind of help work through the different time change. And I had a period one day where I was feeling sorry for myself at lunchtime. And I went to a restroom and I cried. I did cry, but I didn't eat over it. I did not pick up the food, but I was able to share with a fellow. I was able to come back and say, okay, what can I, they don't have exactly what I need, but what can I do? That's recovery. Another thing that's different for me, a huge thing that was different for me is that when I used to be so afraid of being curvy or getting attention, because at one point I was considering leaving my husband because I thought that I was entitled to someone to pay me more attention, to do exactly what I wanted. And I entertained leaving my husband, and I almost lost a very good thing. And God kept me safe and protected, right? He protected me from making a horrible mistake. And so one of the things that's different now is that I can accept and love my husband, and I don't have to manipulate him. And when I feel tempted to, I can do a 10 step and talk about it. And it was a miracle. We celebrated our 30 years of marriage. And again, I had an exit plan. I was planning on leaving. And that's not our story today. I feel more close to my husband than I ever had since even before we got married. And it's just a wonderful blessing. Another thing, the miracle of this program is that I can live up to the relationship ideas that God has given me, not only with my son and my husband, but with my mother, my daughter, as a co-worker, as a sponsor. I don't have to control and manage everybody else's life. I realize that I'm powerless. And yeah, I heard something today on a meeting that was really rang true to me about vanity. And that's one of my character defects. I want people to accept me. I want to be liked. And today, that's that's not my story. Today, I just want to do the best that I can. And it's really to honor my higher power. And even with this conversation today, there's a part of me that will want to go over and be like, oh, did I say this? Did I do this wrong? Did I say that right? And, I'm powerless even over that because I probably didn't say nearly what I wanted to. But it's okay because, I don't have to manage my image. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time based on my spiritual condition. And for today, it's not about white knuckling it. It's about staying connected with God. And when I stay connected to God, where it says in the big book, either God is everything or he's nothing, I know he's everything and he has me. He's going to keep me safe and protected. So I don't have to worry about what anybody else think about me. I don't have to worry about my food. And that is a miracle. So today I'm living without diabetes. I am in a healthy body weight. I don't have to fear somebody else paying me any attention. I don't have to fear, me and my husband breaking up. And if something ever happened, like God has us, he has me, and I get my joy from my higher power, and I get an opportunity to live in abstinence and recovery one day at a time. So thanks for letting me share.